All right, so we're going to dive back in. We talked about money last week. We're talking about it again this week. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs 31. If you don't, we're going to have verses on the screen behind. But anytime in church we talk about any topic, really, some of us can be prone to moving towards shame if the area that we're talking about is something that we've struggled in the past. We've talked about all manner of things over the last several months, and the hope in all of the topics that we're talking about is that none of us would be shamed by the things that have happened or that we've done in the past, but so that our path forward might be illuminated, so that we can move into what the Lord has for us as we move from this moment on into the moments to come. So my hope this morning is not to shame anyone. That's not why we talk about any of the things that we talk about. But the Lord does have some wisdom for us regarding our finances that will help us if we can grab a hold of this wisdom and actually wrestle with it and then begin a dialogue with the Lord regarding it. So my hope is that this ends for you in a place of hope, not in a place of shame. And so if we get to any other place than that, I apologize, but that's not our heart here. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 31, I just want to read one verse, and we're just going to like really break this verse apart, and we're going to mine the gold that is in here and then try to see what it means or what it might mean for our lives as the Lord seeks to disciple us and grow us regarding our finances. But here we go. Proverbs 31:16 says this, she is Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom incarnate. That's the she. She, what does she do? She considers a field and buys it. And with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. There's a whole lot in here. So many things. Each of these phrases and segments could probably be a book unto themselves. We're just going to break it apart phrase by phrase and draw some things out. I love this part where it says, she considers a field and buys it, and then it says, with the fruit of her hands. That's a poetic way of saying with the earnings that Lady Wisdom has already earned. Her hands, right? In all of the verses around Proverbs 31:16, the Proverbs 31 Lady Wisdom, her hands have been diligent and she's been operating in wisdom. And the result or the fruit of that is that Lady Wisdom has some resources in her control because she's been faithful as a steward of the resources that God has given her. And so she's got some extra cash in her hands. Right? So income is sometimes a result of wisdom. Sometimes income can be a result of greed or all manner of selfishness and rudeness and stepping on others to get to a place that you want to be. But even though that happens oftentimes in the world, what the Lord says is that when you also walk in wisdom, that extra resources will accumulate in the hands that you are carrying. Right? And so Lady Wisdom has been profitable, and she's carrying this profit with her out of her earnings or the fruit of her hands. All the things that we're going to talk about now have happened. So with the fruit of her hands, what does she do? Well, she, first and foremost, she buys a field. Good for her. Now, I don't know what your intro conversations were like this morning. Hey, how you doing? How was your week? I don't know if anybody said to you, hey, my week was pretty cool. I bought a field. And if anybody did say that to you, you'd probably be like, really? Okay. And then you'd move on to the next topic. Because buying a field doesn't seem to be very intriguing or exciting for us. But in the time that Lady Wisdom is operating here in the cultural context of ancient Israel, buying a field would have been a thing to be honored and celebrated. Because in ancient Israel, they were an agrarian economy, which means most people lived off of the land. Some people had trades that they would walk in, like Jesus's father Joseph was a carpenter, but in addition to that, he would have been tending to a family plot where they would have derived most of their food and nourishment. And so the typical, as best as we can gather from history that we have, the typical Jewish family plot would have been about 4 to 5 acres in size, which means if you don't know what an acre is, it would be about 4 to 5 football fields that a typical family would be stewarding, and that's where they would get their nourishment and their sustenance from, right? And a modern in this field, she's going to turn it into a vineyard. But when we think about a vineyard, we think about maybe like Central California, where vineyards stretch out for thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. That is not the field that she bought. She would have bought either a full family portion of land, 4 to 5 acres, or she would have bought a portion that a family around her was selling off, anywhere from a half acre to a 5 acre plot. That's what Lady Wisdom here is purchasing. Now, the important point here is not how large this field is, but this is what is going to be very important for us. The money that she uses to buy this field is money that Lady Wisdom has accumulated beyond the cost of her lifestyle. Meaning, Lady Wisdom here in ancient Israel, where the context is placed, Lady Wisdom would have had a set of normal and regular expenses, just like we do in 2025 America. Lady Wisdom would have had to pay for her house and her upkeep of the house. She would have had to pay for transportation. She would have had to pay for insurance and the internet and all those things. Not all of those things in ancient Israel, but you get the idea. So Lady Wisdom has all of these expenses, just like we do, where there's money going out, money going out, money going out to fuel a lifestyle that has to be upheld. But beyond the money that is going out of Lady Wisdom's pocket, there is extra money that is coming in that doesn't have to go out, which is really important. Meaning that Lady Wisdom here is not living her life, spending all the things that she needs to spend on her bills, just breaking even, and then at some point, a pirate's treasure chest falls from the sky out of nowhere and whoops, just happens to land in front of her. And then she picks up that treasure chest and then she goes and buys the field. It's not a whoops kind of thing where she has extra money in her pockets. It's very intentional. She's been planning such that the expenses that she spends money on is less than the money that she has coming in. Very intentional. Lady Wisdom is intentional. And with the extra money that is beyond expenses, the income that she has beyond what she has to pay, she's been pocketing that money for a purpose, and the purpose is to buy a field. If we're going to be able to get to the place where we can follow Jesus regarding our finances, for sure, one of the destinations on the roadmap, which is probably very soon in the roadmap, we have to get to the destination place where we have more money coming in than we are spending. If we do not ever get to that place, then the Lord is going to have more that he wants to invite us into, but it's always going to be punted into the future because so many of the things that the Lord wants to do are dependent upon us spending less money than we make so that like Lady Wisdom, we can accumulate some resources so that at the right time, we can do the thing that the Lord is actually inviting us into. We have to get to the place where there is more coming in than there is going out. And it's very interesting to get to that kind of a place in a country that is fueled on debt, right? We live in a country that is 30-some trillion dollars in debt. To do most things in America, we have to go into debt to get the thing done, to buy the house, to buy the car, to do the business, to do the whatever. We live in a society that screams at us, it is okay to spend all that you have, because if you need anything extra beyond that, you can just go get a loan for it. Lady Wisdom is offering a different way forward. Just spend less than you make for a period of time, and then resources will come, and then we can do the things that God is inviting us into. Now, here's a question for us. How is it possible for us to get to the place where we are bringing in more money than we are spending? Now, if you ask that question to a typical financial advisor, they would have logistical and financial answers as to how we would get to that point. But actually, I think the real answer, in addition to all of that good wisdom, how do we get to the place where we are bringing in more money than we are spending? I think the answer actually that we need to get to before we get to any of the financial planning things is the thing that we talked about last week, We have to learn to walk in contentment. If we never learn to be content in the presence of God in the world, if we're always in the place where we think contentment will come from the next purchase, the next buy, the next thing, the next trip, the next restaurant, the next car upgrade, if we live in the lie that anything in the world is going to satisfy us, and if we chase those things with money, we will never get to the place where we have more coming in than we have going out. So contentment is the place, the position that the Lord wants to posture us in, that once we're in the place of contentment, then and only then can we actually move in the financial principle of more money coming in that is going out, because we stopped believing the lie. Now, here's a cool thing. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the Lord, right here, Lady Wisdom is growing in her stewardship capacity and ability. The Lord is giving her more things, more resources to steward as she walks in wisdom. And contentment is the pathway to greater domain and stewardship in the world. Domain meaning the Genesis 1 and 2 were dominion. God has given us dominion over the world, and he wants us to rule over things. And the only way that we can get to the place where we're ruling over more things is if we are first walking in contentment. But in the opposite is also true. Discontentment is actually the path to having a smaller and smaller domain over resources and things in the world. Contentment is the pathway to increased domain. Discontentment is the pathway to decreased domain. Now, for most of us, we don't want to operate in contentment or learn that, because that's hard. And then out of contentment, then most of us won't get to the place where we're bringing in more money than we are spending. We just won't get to that place. A lot of people in the world never get there. And so we have ways that we get around that. There are ways that we get around God's process for getting to the place of having more resources that enables us to spend all that we have and even more than we have and still try to get more. It was probably like 5 or so years ago, Megan and I were randomly in the city, and I don't know how we met this person who just moved to Akron. And we got into it, we were just talking about, how did you get here? I'm always curious when people move to Akron, like, what drew you here? And this was the person's response. The person said, well, I moved to Akron because Akron is a Knight Foundation city. Does anybody know what the Knight Foundation is? It's a large organization that gives grants to people that have ideas for things that will make the city better. And she said, I moved to Akron because it's always been my desire to move to a city that is a Knight Foundation city. And essentially what she was saying was, I want to move to Akron because there's Knight Foundation money here, and I want to access that money. I thought, wow, that's really interesting that she didn't think, right? Her posture wasn't, I know what I can do. I can make more money than I spend for a period of time. I can accumulate resources and then do good things. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to move to a city that's a Knight Foundation city, write a grant proposal, get a grant, and then I'll do the things that I feel like I want to do. For some of us, we're not going to pursue grants, and not that grants are bad. Grants have a place, and we should utilize them when appropriate, but that's not a pathway that we should all adopt as a pathway to greater stewardship responsibility, right? Some of us will go the route of lottery. Right, we want to spend all the money that we make, and we think we need more money, and so we go to the corner drugstore and buy lottery tickets, thinking that's going to be the answer to more resources. And that's not what Lady Wisdom is doing in Proverbs 31. We live in a litigious society where we're always looking to sue each other, whether it's valid or not. Why? Because we're looking for a payday. Why? Because we want to spend all the money that we make, and then we want more money, but we don't have a pathway to get there, so we sue each other to try to get money from each other. If we don't do that, then some of us will look for what we call a speculative investment, where you're hanging out with somebody and you heard about this new crypto thing that your friend is into, and you think, hot dog, that's my path. I'm going to keep spending all the money that I make, but I need more money, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to invest in this thing that I have no idea what it is, right? We manufacture all kinds of pathways to move ourselves into the place of having more resources that don't require us to first be content and then learn how to spend less than we make. We have all manner of devices and designs to get to that place. We're looking to spend everything and then find, whoops, money that accidentally finds us. But Lady Wisdom is not doing that. And then, so out of her earnings, the fruit of her hands, she does what? She buys a field. But before she does any of that, she considers the field first. There is consideration that goes in to the purchase of the field, which means that Lady Wisdom is knowledgeable regarding the economic landscape around her. Sister has done her homework. She's taken some courses. She knows the economic world that she lives in. Again, Israel in the ancient world was an agrarian society. Land would have equaled the ability to produce real things of value. So land was a source of wealth, and it was a store of wealth. And this woman looks at this particular field between a half acre and 5 acres, we don't know. She looks at it and she says, for that price, that field is worth it. Because she knows that that field is worth the price. And she knows that once she gets her productive hands on that field, that even though it's worth the value at the price that it's being asked for now, she knows that these hands can offer more value to that field because she knows economics and how things work. Question for us, how many of us know what a worthy investment of resources is? This is not to shame us. This is not to belittle us or to make us feel bad. This is meant to offer us a hopeful way forward as the Lord wants to lead us forward, right? How many of us know what a worthy investment is? In this series, we've spent time and we've argued that God wants us to manage our bodies and steward them well. God wants us to manage our relationships and steward them well. God wants us to manage and steward our influence in the world. He wants us to manage and steward all of the things that he has given us domain over. And so why would he not also want us to manage and steward the resources that he has put within our sphere? But instead of managing our resources, what we will often do, right, because that takes energy, Proverbs 31, Lady Wisdom is learning the economic realities of her day. She knows the landscape. Instead of learning that, what some of us would rather do is we'd rather keep up with the Kardashians. Anybody? I don't think anybody here, I don't know if anybody keeps up with the Kardashians, but they keep making it. Somehow they're doing it. I don't know. But we spend time keeping up with the Kardashians. We spend time or energy like learning what's happening in the royal family because that's important because we used to be part of Britain and now apparently we still care what's happening in the royal family. For some of us, we know because the Browns aren't going to make the playoffs, we're very mindful of what the prospects are regarding who the Browns could draft in the next draft, because that's the most exciting thing that we have as Browns fans. And we know in all those things, and we research them, and we spend time thinking about those things, and oftentimes in depth. And those things are not necessarily bad. I would argue the Kardashians, you should not spend time there, but it is good for us to have hobbies and things of interest. I'm not saying that those things are wastes of time. What I am saying is we are so good at spending time investigating all manner of those kinds of weird things. But oftentimes, unlike Lady Wisdom, we don't know a thing about the economic realities of the world around us because we don't think our brains can do it or we have time to do it. So we know all these weird things about weird things, but what do we know about real estate? What do we know about precious metals? What do we know about business dynamics in the modern world? What do we know about mutual funds? Do we know the difference between a stock and a bond and a savings account? I can tell you that Lady Wisdom knows all of these things. And if you do not, this is not to shame you. This is to say that there is an invitation from the Lord with the resources that he has given us and wants to give us more of. There is an invitation out into this world of greater stewardship that he wants to lead us into. right? I have opinions about Ohio State football and how they operate their offense. And here's the deal. I've spent some time thinking about that. Every time I watch a game, I've got opinions. But at the end of the day, here's the question regarding my thoughts on Ohio State football. Who cares? Right? I like Ohio State football. I will continue to watch Ohio State play football, but I'm just making the point. Who cares what I think about how they should run their offense? The world doesn't care. ESPN is not seeking my input. My family even doesn't care. And it doesn't really even benefit me at all because I have zero influence over how Ohio State runs their offense. And they're doing a very good job right now, by the way. Very excited about that, right? But my point is, we spend so much time putting energy and thought into things that don't make a difference for me or for anyone else around us. But here's the deal. Regarding me and my finances and stewarding the resources that God has given me, I do bear an impact regarding how I steward the resources that God has put around me. My family will be impacted by how I steward the resources that the Lord has entrusted to me. The community around me and y'all, my church family, you will be impacted by how I steward my resources. Isn't it interesting that the things that don't impact our lives or the world at all sometimes tend to be the things that we dive the deepest into, where the things that impact us the most are the places where we spend the smallest investment of time and mental energy? Just making the point from Proverbs 31. So, out of her earnings, she is earning more money than she is spending. Out of her earnings, she buys a field, but she only bought that field because she considered it and she knew that was a worthy investment to make. But what does she do? Now, then she plants a vineyard. After she secures the field, it's in her domain stewardship sphere of responsibility. She plants a vineyard in it. And to that I say, what a cool addition to the neighborhood. Right? It doesn't matter what neighborhood or hood you live in. If somebody takes a home site or a field or a central like field in your neighborhood, if anybody takes any part of your neighborhood and transitions it into a vineyard, the neighborhood has now just won. Because vineyards, like, they're beautiful, they're productive. It's like, wow, people care about this neighborhood. It is a net addition to the neighborhood, right? From an empty field to a vineyard is a positive trajectory for the field and for everyone around the field, which means that her investment, which is going to be good for her and her family, because it's profitable, because she knows it. Her investment is also going to be a blessing and benefit to everyone around her. Right? I think so often, as followers of Jesus, as it pertains to money and investment and real estate and all the things that we could get involved in, we look at the world and we say the world is broken, and most people try to make money because they're selfish and they're stepping on people to get there, and they're being greedy and they're being shady, and that's how they got rich, right? And because we think that, we tend to follow Jesus in a way that distances us from all of those things, not realizing that the economy of God that the Proverbs 31 wise woman is stepping into is an economy where she can win. And as she wins, because this field's going to be productive, it's a good investment for her and her family. As she wins, everyone else around her is also going to win, right? God's economy is a win for me, win for you. Whatever the Lord invites me into is going to be good for you, whatever you think about that thing at first glance, right? And whatever the Lord invites you into is ultimately going to be good for me. And that postures us in a place where we can just trust God, right? But in the world's way of doing things, we see very often that when someone wins, someone else loses, and we think, well, that's not right. I don't want to be associated with that. No, there is a way to enter into the economy into stewardship and domain and ruling and subduing over all the things that the Lord has for us in a way that blesses me and my family and y'all and the world all around us. That's what God invites us into. Now, here's the deal. This woman considers the field. Out of her earnings, she buys it. She plants a vineyard. Everyone else around her is benefiting from that. It makes life better for everyone. Have you ever considered this? Let's personalize this. Have you ever considered that the world around you is waiting for your wise investment? Have you ever thought about that? The world is longing for your wise investment. We don't even know what it is yet because it's going to be unique to you. And it's got to be birthed out of you. It can't be birthed out of any of us through you. It's got to come from you. The world around you is waiting and longing for that because that's the tide that is going to raise and rise all ships, right? So this field here is a real thing for Lady Wisdom. But let's just assume for a second that it represents for each of us, if we're to follow Jesus in wisdom, that there are fields that he has for us to get our hands on, that we would exercise domain over, that would be beneficial for us and bless the whole world. And again, for each of us, it would be a different thing. But for some of you, not for all of you, this is not for all of you, but for some of you, there's like a rental property out there that the Lord is saying, I need you to spend less than you make right now. I need you to accumulate some resources because I need you to be a landlord because you're going to be a landlord in a way that's different than every other landlord that you've ever heard of. Because it's going to bless you and it's going to bless the world. Just trust me with it, right? For some of us, like I know that the Truly Reaching You guys just went on a fishing trip. I saw some pictures of some massive fish this morning. And they had to pay money to go on a charter boat, right? But here's the deal. For some of us, the Lord would be saying, and I hope maybe for many of us, the Lord might say, you need to buy a fishing boat. And then with that fishing boat that you've purchased out of the extra earnings that you did not spend, now you own this boat, and now you can take the Truly Reaching You guys on free fishing trips, and Pastor Brian can come with. Right? I'm just saying, that's just an idea that I got for somebody, five of us this morning, right? But that's the idea, right? Something unique to how God has made you and the passions that he has given you, right? Generation Strong, this gym that some people here own, they've got a gym and now they're offering a short-term class for free to teach us how to get strong because they have a field that they own and it's not just they win and you lose. It's no, being a part of the economy in Jesus's economy is they can win and we can all win, right? But you, what field specifically is the world waiting for you to get your hands on? Let me illustrate this for just a second. As it pertains to financial management and getting to the place where we can own and get our hands on our fields, and sometimes that takes time, right? But it was 6 years ago. I was just reminded of this 2 months ago because I saw this person again. But 6 years ago, follow me, I'm talking to this person that I know and they are moving out of an apartment that they own and they're looking to move into another apartment. Or what they really wanted to do was to buy a house. And so we were having a conversation, they wanted to buy a house, looked at their finances, they weren't in a place where they were not ready to buy a house. And so when it came time to look for an apartment, they found an apartment that they liked, but the apartment that they liked was really expensive. This person was going to be living on their own, single income, not a significant income, but the apartment that they found, they just like their heart melted when they saw the apartment. And I remember in this conversation that I had with them after they found their apartment, I just asked a question. Sometimes it's good to ask a question. I said, that is an awesome apartment. And I said, have you ever considered that maybe if you really want to get a house, this person had a sense that she wasn't supposed to buy a field or a fishing boat, or build a business or a rental property. She was supposed to have a house. She had this sense from the Lord at some point, right? And she wanted it. And I just asked the question. I said, I'm so excited that you want the house. You're not there yet. Might it be, maybe it would be a good thing if if instead of renting this apartment, what if we rented this apartment and then took the difference in what you would pay here to this lesser apartment from the one that you're looking at? What if we took all this money and like banked it, put it into something productive for a while, and then moved more quickly to the place where you can get your hands on that field? And as soon as I ask that question, you ever talking with somebody and you know, like, you get to the place where they're like, that's the no, no, no sign, right? You can, sometimes you can just feel it. And I asked that question and I got this sense like, I don't want to talk with you about that. And I am a respecter of persons. And I, okay, cool. Let's talk about Ohio State. Let's talk about the offense. All right, we'll move on. I'm happy to move on. My heart was sad because I had this sense like there's this field that the Lord has for her. And this apartment's going to keep, I'm trying not to use pronouns here, right? But this field is going to keep this person, this apartment's going to keep this person from the field. Well, I just saw this person 2 months ago and reconnected, and I didn't ask for this. This came out of the person's mouth. We're just catching up. This person said, yeah, I'm moving out of my apartment. I think she forgot the conversation we had 6 years ago. I'm moving out of my apartment. I'm moving from this apartment to this apartment. Instead of like paying this, I'm going to be paying this. And then the reason why was because I just want that. I want a house. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm so excited for you that you're making that shift. High five. End kind of conversation, move on, right? And I'm glad that this person made that shift. Here's the looming thing that I see. This is not to shame or belittle or to make us feel bad. It's just straight out of Proverbs 31. I just did a calculation regarding what she was paying and what now her new apartment is going to be. And the difference of that over 6 years, it comes out to like $45,000 in savings. Do you know that in Summit County, Ohio, $45,000 will get you into a field? It'll get you into a pretty nice house. And I just think, man, like there's so many things the Lord wants to bring us into, but we're just not participating well. We must start thinking like wise managers. Why? Because there are fields out there waiting for us to get our hands on them. And because the world is waiting for us to get our hands on those fields. We've got members of Garden City that their field is their house. They intentionally bought a house that's probably bigger than what their family needs, but we've got like four small groups that meet in their house. And they're hospitable all the time. Like the world is waiting for us to get our hands on some fields. And wouldn't it be a tragedy if, and I'm not saying this to shame us, I'm saying this to help illuminate our path to get to the fields quicker, but wouldn't it be a tragedy if instead of spending less than we make, accumulating resources and buying the field, aka Proverbs 31 style, what if we were driving our fields instead? Does that make sense to anybody? What if instead of moving towards our fields, we were eating our fields and not even realizing it? What if we were like subscribing to all the things instead of moving our way towards these fields that the Lord has for us? What if we were vacationing away our fields? And I'm not saying that vacations are wrong. We've talked about rest. We need to vacation. I'm just saying, there are apartments and there are apartments. There are vacations and there are vacations. If we know we've got a field to get to, let's just go ahead and take the vacation for a while so that we can speed the trip to the field so that we can win more and everybody around us can win more. This is a real thing. One last story, Genesis chapter 25. Just want to read this. Genesis chapter 25, starting in verse 29. Should be up on the screen behind me. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, I'm sure that stew smells delicious, Esau, his brother, came in from the field and he was exhausted. Esau was a hunter. He was out hunting, doing his thing. And Esau, the hunter who just came in from the field, said to Jacob, the stew maker, Esau says, Jacob, let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted or famished. Therefore, his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, right, it's going to cost you, brother. Sell me your birthright now. Esau's the older brother. He carries the birthright. Jacob's the younger brother. Esau, the older brother's hungry. Jacob says, I'll give you some stew, but it's going to cost you. You got to give me your birthright. Esau said, I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me? And Jacob says, swear to me now. So Esau swore to Jacob and sold his birthright to him. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. Lentil stew. Maybe like a hearty beef stew. Maybe like elk. I don't know. But lentil stew. And Esau ate and drank and rose and went his way. And then thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau chooses a stew of lentils now out of an impulse of hunger now. Give me the stew now, and I will take that instead of my birthright, which will be mine to walk in the enjoyment of later. And in the ancient world, the birthright was the exclusive right of the firstborn, and it entitled them to a double inheritance from their family. It put them in a position of stewardship responsibility over the whole family. They were almost like the family priest with like this honor and dignity of setting the pace and the agenda for the extended family. Esau says no to that field because he's eating his field now. Now, the truth is many of us have train wrecked this in the past. And the Lord is so kind and gracious that he returns and restores the wasted years. When we humbly come back and say, Lord, I'm in. I want to be a wise steward. I want to walk in contentment with you so that I can get to the place where I'm spending less because I don't think that buying things is going to fill my heart anymore. And I'm earning more than I'm spending. And it doesn't matter how much you earn. We can always spend less than we make. And I'm taking those resources and I'm going to buy myself a half acre field because that's what you're leading me to. I'm going to buy a fishing boat because that's going to be good for me and everybody else. I'm going to buy the whatever, start the business. We've got to start walking in contentment. And as we walk in contentment, we have to learn, like Lady Wisdom, to manage the resources that God has given us. Because the fields are waiting. Worship team, come on back up. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing. Can I say again, no shame? Like, if we were to accumulate the tragic stories of poor stewardship in this room, we could write a horrific book together. My first purchase of all time, I'm just reminded of this, was a $40 Polaroid camera. And back in the day, $40 was a lot. It took me, I think, 9 months to save up money. And I wanted to buy a Polaroid camera because I wanted the instant gratification of the picture. You can see it immediately. And I remember my grandpa saying, Brian, I don't think that's a good idea. Brian, I don't think that's a good idea. And I said, no, it's a good idea. It's a good idea. I want the pictures now. And I didn't realize that even after my $42 was gone in the camera, that like every picture cost a dollar. And in 1979, 1980, that's a heck of a lot of money. My first decision regarding finances and management was a horrendous decision. And it wasn't the last bad decision that I've made. And you've made bad ones too. Thankfully, the blood of Jesus and the kindness of God covers us. But now moving forward, the invitation is to walk with Lady Wisdom and to do it in a new way. Because the world is waiting. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we prayed this last week. Father, please work contentment into our hearts. Let us find joy and satisfaction in you and in all of the free things that you give and gift us. And then, Father, from that place of walking in contentment, would you put us on a path of wise stewardship? Help us to learn the things we need to learn, to grow in the areas we need to grow, and to begin having the conversations that we've always put off because we don't want to be like the world or greedy or whatever. Father, forgive us for shallow thinking. Would you lead us into your big, beautiful, amazing world, where there are so many things that you have for us to get our hands on. And then, God, we'll trust you at the right time that you'll show us the things, the fields that you want us to move towards, that will be a blessing for us and our families, in our circles, in our church, in the world around us. Put us on this path of wisdom, we pray. Deliver us from the hand of foolishness so that we might live with you. And now we're going to sing back to you, the owner of all things. Thanks that you steward all things well, including our hearts. We release them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.